A reading from Romans chapter 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Shame. It exerts a rather terrifying power. It's most often connected to you wanting to look good, or at least not look bad, especially through your association with others who might be being ridiculed. So let me share a horrible moment of shame from my own childhood. My mom, when she was just a little girl, got polio. And so she couldn't walk right. She had one leg significantly shorter than another. She had real strange shoes that sort of allowed her to hobble along. But I mean, you know, this was her walk. And because she couldn't walk without pain, and she walked funny, she ended up also being a bit heavy. Now, I love my mom. I loved her a lot. But when she told me that she'd been asked by the school to come and be the milk lady at lunch, I was immediately seized with fear, because I had seen what the kids do to anyone whose mom was not just, you know, Mrs. Brady, perfect. And so I was really afraid, and I said, Mom, you don't want to bother coming. I mean, you get so tired when you walk around anyway. Don't need to worry with that. I didn't really need to say why. She was a good mom. She figured it out. And you know what she said to me? Never forget this. She said, I understand. You're ashamed of me. And I won't do it, because I don't want you ever to be embarrassed on account of me. Well, no sooner had she spoken the words than I got shame of a different kind, right? You know, over the way she exposed my heart, such a big shame. What kind of a kid is this that would even think or say such a thing to his mother, such a kind, wonderful, loving mother who had done nothing wrong to be crippled and couldn't help it? And so I begged her, please, please, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I want you to come, I really do. And she insisted, no, honey, it's okay. I am not going to embarrass you. I love you. I will never forget the shame. And even telling you guys the story brings it all flooding back. Shame exerts a powerful, terrifying influence. And when we yield to it in fear, inevitably, it only leads to greater shame. Now, Paul comes out with, I am not ashamed of the gospel, which means I am not ashamed of Jesus. I am not ashamed of how Jesus chose to save us. I am not ashamed of the astounding words and promises that he gives to us. But I mean, if you stop and think about it, you can see why he might be ashamed, can't you? I mean, people will think you are a kook if you tell them that you believe that, you know, by this man dying on the tree and shedding his blood, God has wiped out the sins of the entire world. And then if you tell them, and I believe that this man who really did get nailed to a cross and died, I believe he also rose again from the dead. And he lives now with flesh just like ours, only it's never going to die again. And it becomes the source of eternal life for everyone who believes in him. And then they're going to know you're loony. And then if you tell them, yeah, and I believe that when you get in the water with him, where he's put his word, that he literally does wash away all of your sins for your whole life in his name. And then when you tell them, oh yeah, and one more thing. I also believe that when we kneel down at his table, he actually takes the body that he received from the Virgin Mary and the very blood that he poured out to cover the sins of the whole world, and he stuffs it into our mouths to give us communion with him and with each other and to make us be his church. Come on. You have to be crazy to believe that nonsense, don't you? I mean, seriously? And here you are. You know that the only way that you believe that is because this one has promised it all to you. And you know this one, he never lies to you. When he speaks to you, it doesn't matter how outrageous it may sound, how mind-blowing it is, what he says to you is always truth, because he is the truth of God's love for you and for all in human flesh. And so you believe. You look like idiots and fools who have been duped by the stupidest story that humanity has ever dreamed up in its twisted imagination. But you'll happily bear that shame because you believe the gospel, the good news, and it never stops yielding its joy to you. Oh, Jesus, we are not ashamed of you or of your words or of your mighty acts that save us. But we pray you, always give us your Spirit so that we can continue to believe and to confess, and at the end, to stand unashamed before you when you appear in great glory. Shame exerts a terrifying power, far, far more powerful is the gospel of Jesus, who erases all shame in his blood, in his righteousness. Amen.